Now, because of different things and having the website and everything, we are experiencing that new people are coming to the website and they are requesting the information that we have. Now, I've got a nice email from a man, Michael Chang, and he's been in America for 30 and a half years. I don't know if he has any office or anything like that as a minister, but he's into the Bible, and he is in contact with a lot of people because he's a realtor down in Texas. So he told me that he was, in his first email, that he was going to work on a harmony of the Gospels, and he wanted to use the Faithful Version. And also, a little sidebar on that, there was another man in Florida who also just discovered us, and he wants to use the Faithful Version in the things that he's going to write, so I gave him permission for that. So in the meantime, I called Michael Chang, talked to him on the phone, and I let him know that we already have a harmony of the Gospels, so I sent that to him, and I sent United States and America in Prophecy, sent Why Were You Born, sent the Harmony of the Gospels to him, and so forth. He emailed me back and said that he was happy and blessed to talk to me, that God has put us in touch with each other. He says thanks for letting me use the Faithful Version for the what he is going to do. And then he says, I was requested by some saints about the gospel, harmony, and the English-Chinese Bible with the Faithful Translation. He was using a Darby's translation, but he said that that was very difficult. But he said the Faithful Version is better, even better than the New American Standard. So let's hope that that can help him open up other doors. Then I have another email from a man in Florida who said, I found your ministry and love it, and he listens to it every day, so we'll see what happens. We don't know who is coming to the website, what they are finding, what they are doing, but let's hope that it will help them in every way and that we need to get some things out to them in order to understand. They can understand more what we are doing and the things that we have already had. And that's why we have everything prepared and we're blessed from God to be able to do that. Now, I might mention that in the mailing this month, we are sending out to you the updated version of Judge Righteous Judgment. And this is a really great booklet for you to study in depth because it helps you to understand the Word of God. It helps you to know how to make a decision, how to look at all of the facts and to put everything all together and how it needs to be first with the Word of God in everything that you do. So I hope that you will use this and study in it. Study it. We'll have some more things that we're going to send you as well. And I also might mention that we're taking all of the older things that I have done before and have recorded, and Randy Vild is editing those and upgrading the sound and taking care of them so they will be easier to listen to. He just finished the three that we have, Grace of God, Grace of God and Commandment Keeping, and Grace Upon Grace. Now, those three I'm considering putting all in one publication with the CDs that go with it, because this is so very important for us to understand, because the way that the grace of God is explained by the so-called Christian churches of the world, like I heard one woman preacher say that with the grace of God, we can do anything. Well, that's not true. Joyce Meyer, yes. And she was a sight to behold. So anyway, I won't get into that. But this is how it comes out. See? Now, let's understand that how important that it is that we keep watching and doing what we need to do. Now, also, I have finished reading the book Plan Red by Gordon Chang, The Influence of China in America. It's not a thick book, as you can see by this. It's a pretty quick read, so I encourage you to read it. And I have a book that I haven't finished. It's called Blood Money, okay? And this one is by Peter Schweitzer. Blood Money, all of the politicians that have been bought off by the Chinese in various ways, and of course, the chief one is Joe Biden. So we'll have to see what'll happen. We'll have to see what Trump can do, if he can do anything. All right? Now, let's look at some of the possibilities that will happen with Donald Trump being president of the United States. And remember, last week I ended up saying there's Donald Trump and Netanyahu. And so let's see what happens, because we know there has to be a temple built. And we know that you can't build that in the midst of fighting and warring and dropping bombs and rockets and everything like that. So what will we see? Will we see peace for a time? Don't know. Will we see where they will bring out the plans for building the temple? We don't know. However, it's not going to be done in a couple of years, because they will probably have to rebuild Gaza to a certain extent, and then God has to open the mind of those hard-headed rabbis that where the Mosque of Omar is not where the temple is to be built, but it's to be built south of there. And then they can build the temple, and they won't touch the Mosque of Omar, which will hold off the great war at the end for a while. So we'll have to wait and see how that will happen, because their third temple must be built. Now, another thing that they have done, so you can go to the templeinstitute.com, and you will see that they just finished making an Ark of the Covenant. Now, that's interesting indeed. They said that they have built it according to the instructions that God gave to Moses in the book of Genesis. All right? Now, they also have said that they know where the ark is buried. And they think that that is under the area of the Mosque of Omar, which was formerly Fort Antonio in the days of Christ. And the temple was never there. They think it's somewhere there. But the truth is, as we have seen, it's probably nowhere on earth. Because look what happened to the Philistines when they got a hold of the ark. And no one has it. Revelation 11 and verse 19 says that the Ark of the Covenant is at the temple in heaven above and not on the earth. So we don't know what the Jews are going to do with this new Ark of the Covenant. Could it be that they will bury it in one of those underground tunnels somewhere and then claim that they have found it? Don't know. That's a possibility. but they will probably have some form of the Ark of the Covenant so when they build the temple. Now, another thing with building the temple. The Jews look at all the prophecies in the Old Testament, and they think that when the temple is built, that the Jews will rule the world. And of course, we know that's not going to happen because the king of the south will go against the king of the north, and the king of the north will come down, conquer Egypt again, and conquer Libya next to it, and go into the Holy Land, and then enter into the temple and say that he is God. So that's going to kick off the Great Tribulation at that point. But between now and then, there are a lot of things that need to be done. The gospel needs to be preached more in the world, and as we're going to see when we come back after the break, that there are going to be a lot of false prophets. And they are going to sound so good. If they don't keep the Sabbath, and if they don't understand the Word of God, God didn't send them, even though they quote much of the Bible. Now, I'm currently reading the book, The Coming Golden Age by David Jeremiah, and I'm almost done with it. He quotes a lot of scripture, and a lot of it is correct, but a lot of it is not correct, and the timing sequence is not really understood. So I'll bring something on that here in the near future when I finish the book. But you get the book, Plan Red, and you will see what the Chinese are planning for their takeover of America. Now, the UN already has in place a plan where China gets Western United States, Canada gets the northern part of the states, Europe gets the eastern seaboard, and Mexico gets the southern United States. Now, that is a current plan. We don't know how it will go. However, at this time in America, there appears to be enough turnaround from all the sin, from all the things that have been taking place, that God is going to give us a space of time so that we can have some peace, we can have some opportunities to preach the gospel. So we'll all talk about that when we get back. And we need to ask God to open the doors, provide the way, make it possible so that the Word of God can go out. So let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and we'll look at this a little bit more in the scriptures. Yeah, welcome back, everyone. Now let's continue on with Sabbath services. Let's ask the question, what happened in the United States of America with this recent election from God's point of view? Now, we know that it's not enough for people to come to conversion because that's a special calling from God, but they have to come to understanding, like happened here in the United States, and we're kind of split right down the middle as far as people's choices or morality, even separated from the knowledge of the laws of God. That doesn't stop God from judging the nations or blessing the nations, because he looks at what the leaders want and what the people want and do. Now, I mentioned this in my letter, November letter, but let's see what God says about the nations, because he's in charge and knows everything that's going on. And remember, God said that if a sparrow falls, he knows it. Okay? So think about that as we cover some of these things. Now let's come to Jeremiah 18. Now I know I've covered this before, but let's look at it and let's see that God has given the choices to the people as well as the leaders. And we also know, as I've mentioned in my letter, about God's dealing with Donald Trump, and he recognizes that it is the hand of God. And he's probably the only leader in the world to mention it directly that way in our lifetime. So there's something going on, and that something is that God is going to probably hold back his hand of judgment. And as I mentioned before, there needs to be a time of peace and the temple in Jerusalem must be built. So let's see what has happened here. Because America knows that this nation was given to us by God. We say in our money, in God we trust. And we always ask God to bless America. But we will see that there may have been enough people that God has pulled back his hand of correction for the time being. So let's see how this operates, because God looks at all the nations and judges them. Jeremiah 18 and verse 7, he says, if at any time I shall speak. Now, that's any time. Past, we have the history of that. Present, we're living through it now. Future, we have what? The millennium coming and the kingdom of God on the earth. Okay? Concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom. Now also, we can take that down to the individual. Okay? To the individual, to the mothers and fathers, to the communities, all of that comes into play here. He says, concerning a nation, to pluck it up, to pull it down, to destroy it. Now, we were getting closer and closer and closer to that point, right? Yes. But the American people, through the election, showed that they want law and order and common sense. Now, those things may be in harmony with God's laws to a great extent. Since God is not calling them to conversion, he will look upon those things that I just mentioned as whether he needs to continue to destroy the nation or to lift back his hand of punishment so that he can deal with them. And we don't know exactly everything that's going to happen or what Donald Trump is going to do or what that is going to mean on the world scene, but we'll keep that in mind. Then he says here, if that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. In other words, God will change his mind. Now, go back and remember what God did concerning Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot and his family, and how Abraham bargained with God from 50 righteous down to 10 righteous. And if there were 10 righteous, God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities that were involved in these heinous crimes of sexual perversion. Now, we're right at that same point today. All of the sexual perversion and things, we'll talk about that in a little bit here. Okay? So he says, he would repent of the evil. Then he says this, and if at any time, now notice if, that's interesting, choice, God leaves it to us, individually, families, communities, provinces, nations, okay, leaders of nations. As Lyell brought out, look what has happened in the UK since King Charles was coronated as king, and what is happening over there. It's a big mess in the UK. Okay, so they've got to come back to God in a much of the same manner that the Americans have come back to common sense and law and order and decency toward each other. Okay, so he says, verse 9 now, on the other hand, if at any time I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build it and to plant it, okay, now, that's what happened with the founding of America. And you look at how much they relied on the Bible and how much they relied on the basic principles in the Bible to put it into the Constitution. And it's one of the only constitutions of government on earth today that mentions God and Creator. So a return to that would be a letter of the law, carnal return to God. So he says here, if at any time to build it or plant it, if, so there it is again, choices individually with the individuals and then the collective whole. If it does evil in my sight, if it obey not my voice, I will repent of the good which I said I would do them good. Okay. Then he talks about how Israel has left God, and the whole plea during the 40 years of Jeremiah's warning message to them to return to God. Now, there was one time when that occurred, and that was with King Josiah. And what did he have to do? He had to be very strict with God's way. He had them, all the leaders, come to the temple and stand by the stone or the pillar for the king there at the temple and make them all swear to keep the laws and commandments of God. Now, we haven't had that kind of repentance here in America yet, but that lasted for 12 years. And then Josiah went against what God wanted him to do. God didn't want him to go fight in the war. He even sent those to tell him, don't go fight. But he insisted on fighting. So he went against God. He was wounded to death. And that ended the prosperity and good things they had during the days of Josiah. And that brought the final acts of God during the next 22 years of the Babylonians coming and conquering in three invasions, Judea, and carrying off the Jews into Babylon. Okay? Now, let's come over here to chapter 19. Let's see what's still hanging over America. Now, there is some return to changing from this, but this is the great grievous sin. Not only here, but in many nations of the world. Okay? Jeremiah 19 and verse 3. Hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, people of Jerusalem. Okay, we could say the same thing. Donald Trump, listen to the word of God. People of the land and all of you so-called Christian preachers, will you come back and keep the word of God the way that God said or not? We'll have to wait and see. There's going to be a big fight. But let's see what it is here. Thus says the Lord of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and it shall cause the ears of him who hears it to tingle. Now, the hand may be drawn back for the time being, but notice the great sin that is still yet to be judged upon on this nation. Verse 4, because you have forsaken me and have profaned this place and have burned incense to other gods, whom they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and you have filled this place with the blood of innocents. All right? Now let me show you the battle of those who are still out there, who didn't return to common sense and law and order, and especially in the Christian religion, to turn back to God and the Word of God. Here's a report. Transgender pastor claims the Bible wasn't written for 2024. Now, here it is. A California-based transgender pastor, Drew Steffer, is stirring controversy after an interview with the Daily Mail in which he claimed the Bible wasn't written for 2024. In other words, it's old-fashioned, it's out of date, and we don't need it. Now, what did Jesus say of the Word of God? He didn't come to abolish it, right? Isn't that what he said? What else did he say? Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle in the law shall in no wise be changed. So here we have it. Now then, we're going to see these kind of activities and these kind of people and this kind of so-called Christian ministry, okay? They have forsaken God, gone after other gods, okay? And that's what they do. They have feminine images that they bow down and worship to. All right, the other great sin that we have today, which may be handled, which is transgenderism among children. Brainwashing children into thinking that they can change gender and then send them off to the hospitals, give them drugs, try and change their lives, actually destroy their lives, not killing them, but ruining their lives. This is one thing that may change, so we hope it will. But that is a great evil and satanically led, okay? And have filled the place with the blood of innocents. Now, he defines what that is. Today, we don't offer children in sacrifice to gods. But there is a Planned Parenthood temple. And the altar is the abortion table. And the priest is the doctor. And the assistant is the one to help carry it out. And the ritual is the killing of the baby in the womb. Now, there's coming online more and more and more about these pictures of ultrasound. And they can see the baby's activity. They know that the heart is beating in 6 weeks, and that's when a woman knows that she's pregnant for the first time, okay? And then it shows the development of the child, and what a great and wonderful thing that is taking place, that God is doing. So the women need to be taught. This is completely wrong. You can't be going out and having sex with anybody, and then coming and taking care of it by abortion. That is a sin against God, and a sin against your body, and a sin against your emotion, and a sin against your life. You have to live with that blood of the innocent on your hands the rest of your life unless you deeply repent. Okay? So it says, they build high places to Baal. I just named it, Planned Parenthood. To burn their sons and also their daughters for burnt offerings to Baal, which I never commanded nor spoke, nor did it come to my mind. Okay. So then God says, because of that, I'm going to bring evil. Then he also says over here in chapter 20 about keeping the Sabbath. Because keeping the Sabbath is the key important thing, as Lyell brought out. All right. Now let's come to Jeremiah 23. Let's see what is the next thing that has to take place. And also, this sets the stage for what all the churches of God need to preach and teach and warn against. We need to preach against the Christianity that brings people to a false conversion, a false belief in Christ, a false Christ. Okay? Chapter 23, verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord, bringing them false conversion. Oh, if you say this nice little prayer and invite Jesus into your heart, everything's going to be fine. No, God says return to him. You choose that. We'll see that a little bit. Okay? Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I'm against the shepherds who feed my people. They feed them with the wrong doctrine. They feed them with wrong interpretation. And like Lyell said, and all of the elders and all of us say, key number one to start to come back to God is what? Sabbath. Repentance and Sabbath keeping. And this is what we're going to have to emphasize as we preach to the world and pray that God will open up more doors for preaching to the world and bringing the message of true repentance. He says, you have scattered my flock, you have driven them away and have not taken care of them. Behold, I will bring upon you the evil of your doing, says the Lord. Okay. Then he says, but I will gather the remnant of my people out of all the countries where I have driven them. So there is a remnant of people everywhere in the world, many of them we don't know anything about or what they are doing or how they are doing it, but they are there. Now, I also received a book from Leon Ritchie about all of the martyrdoms that take place in the persecuted nations where they are against God, where they are against any form of Christianity. And it's a difficult thing indeed, okay? Verse 10, here's what needs to change. For the land is full of adulterers, spiritual and physical and sexual. Because of swearing, the land mourns, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, their course is evil, and they wield power unjustly. Both prophet and priest are ungodly. Yea, in my house I have found their evil, says the Lord. Okay? But their ways are slippery and their ways are darkness. Okay? Verse 15. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them wormwood and make them drink a poisonous water, for from the prophets of Jerusalem ungodliness has gone forth into all the land. Thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. And that has to be the message that we bring out to people today. Look at All of these ministers are preaching things which was prophesied by Christ at the end time. Many false prophets, even false Christ. Don't listen to them. Listen to the word of God. Come to God. It says, they make you vain. They speak a vision from their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. They still say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And that's what they say. There's right now an ad that you see on television all the time. How to have great peace. You come to Jesus. But does he mention the Sabbath? Does he mention repentance? Does he mention the commandments of God? No, he does not. You can't have great peace unless you come to the true God. Notice what else he said. Verse 17, they still say to those who despise me, thus says the Lord, you shall have peace. And they say to everyone who walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. No, that's not true, because the laws of God are automatic. You go against them, it's going to bring evil upon you, because that's how it is. Now notice, God asked the question, for who has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Who has attended to his word and heard it? Okay, that's up to us. All of us churches of God, we need to really preach as much as we can to the world, as best that we can, with everything that God gives us, led by his Spirit, to preach his word. Verse 19, behold, the tempest of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a whirling tempest that shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not be returned until he has executed, until he has performed the purposes of his heart. In the latter days, you shall understand it perfectly. Now notice, let's hope this. Let's hope that with our preaching, some of those who claim to be Christian ministers will repent and teach the truth, and will repent of Sunday and Christmas and Easter and all of those pagan days, and come to the truth of God. Would that be possible? We don't know. I didn't send them, yet they prophesied. But notice verse 22. Key verse. But if. All right, there it is again. Look at the choices that God gives to them. They have the Bible. They have the Word of God. They're the Catholics. They're the Protestants. And we can include the Jews. They have the Old Testament. If they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, preaching the truth. No, not half of it. Not part of it. Not almost all of it. If they get to almost all of it, they're getting real close. Okay. But notice what God says. If they would cause them to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil ways. See, if they would really preach the commandments of God the way that God wants, people would repent. And from the evil of their doing. Am I a God who is near, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Yes, you can come to God as soon as you get on your knees and repent of breaking his laws and commandments. And you can have your sins forgiven through the proper sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ, so that you can learn how to walk in the way of God. Not in the way that it is in the world. not a feel good, let's have peace kind of a psychological thing. But God wants a change. God wants a conversion. God wants a repentance that will bring this about. And they could do it if they would actually preach the truth of the Bible that they have in their hands. So here's the thing. He says, he's not a God far off, he's near. Verse 24, can anyone hide in a secret place so that I do not see him, says the Lord? Huh. God knows everything that's going on. See? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth? That some people say, well, God is just the spirit that fills the heaven and the earth. No, he fills the heavens with his creation and the earth with his creation and everything that is on the earth. Okay? And it all comes from God. There's not one thing that we have, that we do, that it doesn't come back to God. Whether you're converted or whether you're not converted. You need air to breathe, God gave it. You need water to drink, God created it. You need food to eat, God made it possible. Okay? Do you hear? Do you see? Do you walk? Do you talk? All of that, God made possible. And Paul summarized that this way. For in God, we live and we move and we have our being. No one is exempt from that. And you've got to keep the laws and commandments of God, because if you don't do that, then you are sinning. And if you are sinning, you're automatically bringing the judgment of God upon you, as we have read. Whether you're an individual, whether you're a family, whether you're a group or a community of people, or even a nation. Verse 25, I have heard what the prophet said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, and all you have to do is go on YouTube and you'll find hundreds of them right there, just like the prophecy was in the end time, as Jesus said there would be many false prophets, okay? So how long shall it be in the heart of the prophets to prophesy lies, and who are prophets of deceit of their own heart, okay? And they scheme to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams they tell, each one to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Okay? Now here's the key. This is what it should be for all of those who are the ministers of God. All of those who say they are Christian preachers. Here is your challenge that God gives to you and to everyone who is going to preach, everyone who is going to teach, everyone who is going to say that this is what God means. Okay? Verse 28, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he who has my word, every person in America has the word of God available to them. Most of the world has the word of God available to them in the digitized form they can get on their smartphone or their flip phone or whatever they have, or the Bible translated into 3,000 languages. God caused that to be so you would have his word so you could hear it and do it and live by it. He says, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell his dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully, not to interpret it according to the theology of your denomination. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? The wheat, then, is that which God can use to bring about conversion for people. Okay? That's what God wants. So this is what we're going to have to do. This is how we're going to have to put ourselves in it. Okay? Now, you can read in there Ezekiel 33 and Ezekiel 34 to go along with that. Now, let's come to Isaiah, okay? Isaiah 55. Let's see how we are to return to God. Let's see how we are to preach. Let's see what God will do if we do that, see? Now, it's not just a simple little prayer that you invite God into your life. It is repentance of your sins, which are the transgressions of the laws and commandments of God, and the breaking of the Word of God, the mistranslation of the Word of God, the false doctrine of the preachers, the false teachings of the ministers. He offers this without charge. Okay? Verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, that is, everyone who wants to know, what is life about? What do I want to do? Where is God? Who is God? What does God require of me? Come to the waters. Now, the waters are the living waters of God's Holy Spirit. And he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. How do you buy? By repentance, by serving God. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, that is likening the word of God to fine wine and fine milk and so forth, without money, without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? See? Why do you waste your time with a Protestant religion or Catholic religion or Jewish traditions and not come to God and not come to Christ? Okay? Hearken diligently to me. That is, pay attention to what God says. Listen to it. Set your mind to follow it. And eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, that is, in God's way. Bow down your ear and come to me here. Okay, see, you come to God. You answer his call. Now, if you truly repent, God will lead you to what is right, and will lead you to keeping his word. But you don't have a simple 20-second prayer, and you invite Christ into your life, and voila, you're saved. That is one of the greatest deceptions in the world. We'll see that here as we go. Okay. Come to me, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, that's the covenant of eternal life. And the covenant of eternal life comes with repentance and then baptism. Now, baptism is a tremendous thing that needs to take place. See? Now, I'll explain that in another message. But that's important for us to understand because it is a lifetime commitment to God by free will choice. And that's what God wants. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a prince and a commander of the people. That's Christ. You come to the true Christ. God manifested in the flesh, lived a perfect life, became the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and everyone individually who will repent. Behold, you shall call a nation that you did not know, a nation that did not know, you shall run to, and because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. That's speaking of those coming to Christ. Now notice what it says in verse 6. because this is how it is done. So let's think of this for all of the Protestant ministers out there who say that they know the way to God. No, you don't. If you keep Sunday, if you keep Christmas, if you keep Halloween, if you keep Easter, if you follow all of these pagan things that have been falsely Christianized, you're not teaching the truth. You've got to teach the truth of God. And likewise, those of you who want God, you've got to come to God His way. Now notice verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. That's what we read in Jeremiah. He's a God who's near. Here's the key. Here's repentance. Here's what you need to do. You need to look at your life and what you're doing and where you're going and how you are living right here. Let the wicked forsake his way and then embrace and live God's way. Okay. And let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Okay. Forsake your thoughts. If you don't have the Word of God in your mind, and if you don't live by the Word of God, and you live by any old way you desire, those are your thoughts, and God has given you the free choice. Now, in making the wrong choice, repentance is you see that you have to repent. And that means stop sinning, stop thinking these thoughts, stop living that way and go God's way. Okay? And then it says, and let him return to the Lord. You come to God. He will come to you. But he's not going to come to you on your command because he is God. You have no power to do that. You come to God His way. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Now notice this. Conversion, then, is a whole transformation of the mind by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God does not come unless there is this kind of repentance, number one, and there is baptism, number two, proper baptism, okay? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord, okay? So what's going to happen? God is going to bring you His thoughts through His laws, okay? He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. See what you're choosing? God's way. Okay? And my thoughts, then your thoughts. And the thoughts of God are expressed in the Bible. The actual words of Christ we find in the Gospels. For as the rain that comes down and the snow from heaven does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes out of my mouth. Here it is. It's right here. But the if is what we must choose. And it matters not who you are. Matters not what race you are. You come to God His way. And all of the ministers out there who claim to know Jesus, you better look at all the commands concerning God's commands concerning the Sabbath. Now, Granted, there are some difficult scriptures in the New Testament which are wrongly understood. Now, we have a book on that called The Apostle Paul's Teachings on God's Law. And every one of those scriptures in the New Testament, which looks like the law has been done away, which we'll cover in the future in various messages, are not done away. Rather, we are to live the laws of God with it written in our hearts and in our minds, in the spirit and not in the letter. That's what true conversion is about, and that's what God wants. Come down here to the next chapter. Because as I mentioned, keeping the Sabbath is the most important point to return to God when you truly repent. Now, how many of you Sunday-keeping preachers out there are willing to come to God His way through the sacrifice of Christ, which you claim to understand but don't, and repent of your Sunday keeping, and repent of your pagan holiday keeping, and come to God His way? Return to Him. Return to Him in repentance. Return to Him in love. Return to Him to receive His mercy and forgiveness. And you preach it and you teach it to your congregation so that they will know God. Notice what it says here. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. What is righteousness? All the commandments of God are righteousness. What is righteousness? God forgiving your sins when you truly repent. Okay. For my salvation is nearer to come. It is as near, as I said, as your knees are to the floor. And my righteousness to be revealed. Okay. How does God reveal His righteousness? Through His Spirit, through His Word. And that's why the Sabbath is so important, as He says right here, verse 2. Blessed, now think of this, if you keep the Sabbath, you are blessed. Did not God bless the Sabbath and make it holy and sanctify it? Yes, He did. No man has the power to change that to Sunday. It just is not so. See? Blessed is the man that does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, who keeps the Sabbath. New Testament doctrine, because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, as we covered last week. He owns it. He created it. He blessed it, He sanctified it, and He rested with Adam and Eve on the first Sabbath day and taught them about themselves and His creation of them. And that's why it says in the fourth commandment to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. See? And then it goes back to the creation. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and all that is in them, and He rested the seventh day. Therefore, He sanctified the seventh day and made it holy. You cannot, all you preachers out there who profess Christ, all you Catholic priests out there, in all of your sins and paganism that you have, you cannot bring the true God into the lives of anyone out there with all of your rituals and Sunday keeping and paganism that you keep. All of that must be forsaken, and if you will teach the people God's way, and you yourselves will live God's way, all right? Let's read it. Keeps the Sabbath from profaning it, doing all your pleasure on the Sabbath, etc., and keeps his hand from doing any evil. What does that mean? What is evil? Evil is going against the laws and commandments of God in your mind, and in your actions. That's what it is. Now, we have a chance in America to begin to do some of this. And this is what needs to be preached, okay? What does this mean? Verse 3. And do not let the son of the stranger who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. This is New Testament doctrine. No, God hasn't separated anyone from the people of God. All who repent, all who come to God his way, all who truly believe in Christ Jesus as the sacrifice and Savior of the world, and then know that God the Father sent him to do that. Okay? So he says, and do not let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. In other words, it doesn't matter if you have any offspring or not. Okay? Thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath. Keep my Sabbath. Do we get that? Is that not the word of God? Yes. And Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Who is inspiring these words to be spoken? The one who became Jesus Christ. Because it tells us in the first verse of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing came into being without him. He created it all. And he was made flesh and tabernacled among us. And he brings us grace, grace upon grace. And that is true connection with God, with his Holy Spirit. Who keep my Sabbath and choose the things that I please and take hold of my covenant. All of this are the very words that the original apostles preached when they began preaching the New Testament. Because Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And in the Old Testament, it's not old, because the word of God is perpetually new. These are the doctrines that the New Testament church taught. See? So this is what we need to look to now. We have a space of time that God has given us in this nation. And there's no other nation on the face of the earth that the true gospel of God the Father and Jesus Christ is to be found. And all of us, all the churches of God, all the brethren, all the elders, we need to understand what God wants us to do and be busy about preaching the gospel and causing people to come to understand the truth. So this is why we have the election that turned out the way it is, to give all of us an opportunity to preach the truth the way God wants, and to preach repentance and the truth of God, the love of God, the righteousness of God in our lives, so that we can attain to the kingdom of God when Christ, in his second coming, actually comes and appears.